You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Just gonna stand there eating that sushi all night. You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculptures.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
Oh, we are all a buzz, listeners, because the wonderful, amazing jeweler Zora Bell Boyd has just walked into the studio with some treasures.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Now we can't. We can't show them to the listeners.
That's really good radio right there, everyone.
It's okay. But I'm going to sit back and just touch all the jewellery while Amy talks to Zora.
So you'll be touching it while I'm reading. Okay, that's cool.
Zora Bell Boyd is one of New Zealand's foremost creative jewellers, whose work is as much about presenting the stone as it is telling the story of the nature from which it came. Amy, take it away.
Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Zora, for coming in to talk to us and bringing all these beautiful treasures for us to look at and delight over. So, you have an exceptional eye. Your work is absolutely stunning. I'll just get you to talk. Now, aesthetics of materials is very, just for our listeners to give them a bit of a background, aesthetics of materials is very important to Zora, both in the metals and the stones she's inspired to work with. And when I say metals, I actually am meaning stones in a way, but materials as in mineral type things. But I'll just keep moving forward with that. Her love of raw material often dictates the outcome of the work, opening up many possibilities. Some of your work almost has a dark crystal vibe, and I'm hoping people know that reference, The Dark Crystal, the movie. Do you know, Esther? From many, many years ago. It was a childhood film.
Zora doesn't know it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I might. I'm terrible with movie names.
The Dark Crystal was like really imaginative puppetry, but with really like intense. Well, The Dark Crystal says it all.
I'm going to go watch it.
Just giggle it.
That sounds like my jam.
Giggle it. Anyway, it's it holds something more than just a jewel presented via a fastener. It's spiritual. Your cut specifications are often object-centred as well, and that particular stone's shapes will inspire your cut design for it, which is most unhomogenised. So, Zora, to get started, before we get into much more, can you please tell us a bit about how you choose, what stones you're attracted to and how you choose the stones to work with?
Well, I'm attracted to all stones. I'm just like a magpie, so I get to look at lots and lots of stones, and then they just kind of jump out at you, or they sparkle more, or they just feel better, or the colour is, you think, is slightly better than another colour, or the shape, but often it's raw form and then you're changing it and enhancing it and cutting it. So I just go by feel, and what grabs my eye, which is kind of quite indulgent.
Yes, no, but that's beautiful because that's where the process begins.
That's the best part.
Yeah, and then it's like the labour. So with stones as well, when we're talking stones, we're also meaning amethysts and
all stones, from crystals, even a river pebble, up to a diamond. So across the board, if it's rock-like, I like it.
Ooh, even that was a rock.
That was intense.
That's
man.
My ring. Sorry. to obsidian, which is byproducts of volcanic glass and things like that. So that's, I still put those in the rock form.
And you use that? Do you use that byproduct with some of your drawings and things? You're using some of the ground.
Yes, I ground it into a powder and I put it on top of the drawings of the stones. It's when I just draw just the stone, or if it's just a stone pendant, not so much the little rings, unless it's got a big stone. I just rub it on top, so then it merges it.
It reminds me of Andy Warhol's diamond work, you know, the way he does with diamond dust. I love it. You have diamond dust, don't you?
Yes, but I put it in little vials because it's a bit expensive to smash all over pictures, but I'd love to.
Yeah.
Do you sell the vials?
No. Yes. It's made to order, and you get. I've made vials with, people often put their animal dog hair, or we put it into ashes.
Yeah.
People's ashes or animal ashes. yes, sometimes locket form and sometimes it stays in vials. And sometimes we decorate the top with little sterling silver caps and things. So they look like a piece of jewellery.
Yeah.
But they're holding things. And diamond dust has got an amazing sparkle to it. But it's not a full stone and it's not as expensive.
Oh, man.
I wish I'd known about that when my darling Andre passed. I was actually looking for a custom made. Anyway.
R.I.P. Andre 3000.
Yeah. Okay, so another inspiration for you can be the patterns found in nature, such as, for example, the interlocking shapes created by light and fauna that you see when lying on the ground and gazing up into the arms of a pine tree, which is awesome. What other ways do you find inspiration from nature and otherwise when you're thinking, when you're thinking about ideas creatively?
Well, it's all shapes and movements, even like waves have a pattern that they roll in on, and wind patterns and the way birds fly are patterns. So that's like in the wave jewellery is all like that, they're patterns. Then there's set star patterns at different times of the year, planet patterns, everything's, I think, around you has a pattern. It's just how you interpret it, and then you shrink it down into a pendant or a ring.
Oh, don't you just love this?
I love this. So, everything you're saying.
I know, right? Okay, so your fastenings to the stones are also particularly unique in the way that they're crafted and the story they tell. So sometimes they've been quite hand, look like they've pressed almost, and then sometimes they're quite intricate scenes that are being depicted. Incidentally, we have some of those beautiful scenes which are very Warhol-esque in style of illustration, for which will be on display and some available at Art 8 next week. But just going back to that, can you tell us a bit more about your own creative process and how you go about actually crafting the object? I know you do all the work yourself. Can you give us a bit of an insight?
Sometimes I'm a little bit indulgent. That is mood dependent. Sometimes I'm thinking, oh, I need to make a fine piece so it's finally finished, like with the animal scenes or the clear-cut fauna. And then sometimes it's a mythical creature, so you're adding different animal parts and it's not quite right. Sometimes it's from a fable or a legend, but that's all cleaner work. Sometimes it's recycled. Sometimes it's mashed up and hand-formed, so it's just my hands forming it. And sometimes it's a happy accident because I've bashed the crap out of it. And it just turns out all dented in that way, and I just leave it. They're called the happy accidents.
Oh,
they're quite fun.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's a real mishmash. My techniques are all over the place, and I use old techniques, new techniques, cast, handmade, so all different.
I love that, how creative and open that is.
Zora's an artist, and this does lead into my next question, which is, behind the jeweller is the artist. So at some point, there would have been a point where you became, you know, this obsession and this love and this devotion to the stones and perfecting and bringing all the environment into one exquisite object happened. So where did your curiosity to work towards working in this area of jewellery begin, and how did that relationship start? Can you remember?
Well, I was studying design, but I always loved jewellery, and previous to that I used to try and, when I was really young, get people to make me jewellery, jewellers in my designs. And then I did night classes so I could make jewellery to wear to the party. Then I made presents for friends. I always just loved jewellery. And perhaps it even came from seeing my mother wear jewellery when I was a child, and just that fascination with it and putting it on and it can changing it around. So it's not really a set point, I think I've just always been obsessed with it.
Yep, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
These are stunning.
Thank you so much, Zora, for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Oh, actually, have we downloaded the song I played? Might not have.
We've only got a different one by the same artist.
Okay, sweet.
Would that work? To be honest, we actually have to go to an ad break.
Yeah.
We'll download it and play it in the 10 o'clock hour. Yeah?
Yeah. I was waiting for the ad now. Quiet.
Trey Cool.
Touche.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.
That was was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.